1 Corinthians chapter 11. These will be familiar verses, but join me in verse 27, please. Paul writes, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself," or judgment to himself, "not discerning the Lord's body." I think many times when we gather around the Lord's table, we often pay lip service, at least, to the command that we find in verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." But I think often we just sort of glide into our observance of the Lord's table and don't really give a lot of thought to really taking that command seriously. And against the backdrop of that, I want you to turn with me now over for a moment to Mark chapter 14. And I'd like to have you think about what Paul tells us in that verse. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Is that the backdrop? I'd like to take us back to the Thursday evening where we were reading this morning and enter into the experience of one particular person. And of course, I'm speaking of the Apostle Peter. But joining the story at verse 27, Jesus says this to them. This is immediately after the verses that we were looking at this morning. "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee." And we notice now, "But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I." And I think to myself, there is an unintended arrogance. Let me be sure that you heard me say that exactly as I said it. An unintended arrogance. I don't think Peter meant to be that way. I don't think Peter knew that he was really filled with pride when he made that statement. But you know, when you meditate on those words for just a few moments, you realize that he basically set himself up above all the others. He overestimated his own dedication to the Lord and his own spirituality. And it progresses from there. It kind of gets worse because then Jesus says in verse number 30, "Jesus saith unto him," now speaking directly to Peter, "Verily I say unto thee that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now look what Peter says. It's almost as if now he's got to make up for that. And he intensifies. The Bible says, "But he spoke the more vehemently." And he says, "I will not deny thee. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise said they all." So now what we've gone is from a promise that he made and couldn't keep to, or a boast that he made that, to a promise that he made that he couldn't keep. "If I should die with thee," he says, "I will not deny thee in any wise." And then the Lord begins to talk to them about prayer, and he begins to talk to them about the experience that he's going to have that evening. And then we get down to verse number 37, and it says, "He cometh and findeth them sleeping." And notice, he has Peter, James, and John with him, but you'll notice that he speaks directly to Peter. He says to Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour?" Now he's not only overestimated his own spirituality. He's not only made a promise he cannot keep, but he fails to recognize his own weakness. You hear, he'd made these statements already. What we saw in verse number 29 and then what we saw in verse number 31. And now he's invited to a simple prayer meeting. He's privileged to be with Peter or with James and John, three, and share those special moments with the Lord. And he's not even able to stay awake during that important season of prayer. And then we see something else over in verse 46. Not only does he not understand his own weakness, but in verse 46, "And they laid hold their hands on him and took him, and one of them that stood by," now of course one of the other evangelists tells us who this is, and you know it's Peter, "one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his ear." And Jesus answered and said unto them, and he's speaking to the others, but what's really interesting, he's speaking to the crowd at that point, but what's really interesting, if we were to look, and let me read this for you, in Matthew's account of this, Matthew chapter 26, verse 52, then Jesus said unto him, so now he's speaking directly to Peter, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But now listen to this. How then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? Do you see the progression of this? That it starts off with that unintended but yet noticeable pride, proceeds to a broken promise, a promise that he makes that he cannot keep, to a failure to recognize his own weakness, now to a demonstrated failure to really understand what the Lord's mission was all about. It's not as if the Lord had not told them that this he was coming to die. It's not as if he had not prepared them for what was going to take place. But Peter, and you have to sympathize because he wants to demonstrate his love and loyalty to the Lord, but it's entirely and totally misplaced at this point. Jesus rebukes him. Put your sword away. He's not condemning legitimate self-defense. He's simply saying, put your sword away. You don't understand that how is the scripture going to be fulfilled if we resist this? And it begins to pile up, beloved, until finally we come to verse number 72. And basically now we're at the place of a complete meltdown. It says, and the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. In Matthew's account of it says that he went out and wept bitterly. Now, I don't know that the Lord is necessarily looking for us to come to every communion service and to weep. But I do think that there is something that can be very wholesome and very helpful about thinking, taking time. And sometimes what happens, we get in a rush. It's happened here before. We get in a rush, we tack communion onto the end of the service. We're careful at least to read these scriptures that say, let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But, beloved, I put before you tonight, if someone of the stature of Peter can be with the Lord at the most sacred of moments, and now we can look at this, we can see it, and I'm sure later Peter saw it, but we can discern, okay, there is a pride that's there. An overestimation of his own spirituality. There's a promise made that he can't keep. There's a failure to recognize his own weakness. There's a failure to recognize what the Lord's mission is really all about. And there's a failure in his leadership. If you want to look at verse 31 one more time, he spoke the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they. And what's the last word? All. And then we come over to verse 50. And they all forsook him and fled. And now we have a failure of leadership. Because he was their leader. He really was their leader. But because he entered into that evening with a mindset and an attitude of heart that really wasn't right, you go from a pride to a broken promise, and ultimately coming to verse 72, there's a broken heart. And then I go back, and if you can just turn with me for a moment, we'll wrap this up so that we have time for all the other things. Paul has a comment to make about this if we were to read a couple of verses more. He says, for this cause many are weak, this is verse 30, and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Beloved, I just place before you tonight, we're going to take a few moments here in just a second to give you some time, give all of us some time, so that we don't come tonight to this observance of the Lord's table. I know that for 98%, 99% of the people here, maybe more, it would be totally unintended for us to not really discern the Lord's body, for us to come irreverently, for us not to recognize what we are doing. But you know, it is a good exercise for us tonight to take a few moments to quiet our heart. Like the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me." And I want us to take about three verses. We have our next hymn, "Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross," instead of our singing. Okay, I would like to ask that we do this. The organist is going to begin playing about three stanzas of this for us to give us sufficient time. I'll ask the deacons to come right away on the first stanza so that they're prepared and ready here, and they can sit on the front and they can join me in taking some moments to do exactly that, to ask God to really help us be in tune with what this is, what it means, and if there are things in our life that are not right, that we would be open to the Lord pointing that out to us, and we would be willing to make a clearing of those things. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.